Welcome to A Few Minutes with Molly. It's our podcast with Princeton's Ford Family Director of Athletics, Molly Marcuse-Simon. I'm Jerry Price, and Molly, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Happy to be here.
So it's year five for you, and I know that the first time that we did one of these, we talked about how it was the end of the first cycle where all of the athletes had come in when you came in, and so now there are no athletes here who predate your tenure as Director of Athletics. But, you know, and college athletic works in four-year cycles, but a lot of, like, corporate things work in five-year cycles, five-year plans, et cetera. And now here's year five. And I mean, I know we said this before, but it doesn't seem like it's been that long, does it?
Yeah, I mean, it's it's fun to be entering into the fifth year because I have seen a full cycle from the freshman, first-year students moving all the way through graduation, which was really exciting at the PVC banquet to see the students that I watched the first week on the job compete, and then seeing them graduate and seeing how much they really changed and evolved and grew over those 4 years. But, you know, entering into the fifth year, it feels like we've got some great momentum going, and we've accomplished a number of projects, and we hope to wrap them up this year and move on to the future.
So I was actually looking back through some of the blogs I wrote, and this was completely not related to our conversation, but then I noticed that there was one I wrote on the Friday before you started, and it said, like, you know, we have a new athletic director coming in on Monday, and that the office had been remodeled, and it was a literal and figurative new beginning. And it doesn't, I mean, to me, you know, I was here for 20 years with Gary, and now it's 5 years with you, and or started the fifth year with you, and it doesn't really seem like that much time has gone by, but, like, in the time that you've been here, and I think there's a tendency in situations like that where you think to yourself, when you're there the whole time and then you see how things evolve, you don't really notice the change as it's happening. But if you look back to when you started to where we are now, and you think of, like, all the things that are different in the way your job is, just the structure of your job and the things that you focus on, I have to think it's changed, you know, enormously from day one.
Yeah, no, I think it is. And again, I had a lot of learning to do when I first got here to get up to speed quickly. But I think that, you know, we've been able to prioritize and set out a strategy and hopefully get a lot of those things done. But things are evolving, moving quickly in college sports. You just can't keep your eyes shut for a minute. You have to really stay focused on, you know, really what your goals are, what your values are, what are you trying to accomplish on a day-to-day basis. And really, it's a competitive landscape. If you are not working hard, somebody else will be. And so you really can never just sit back and rest on your laurels. There's a whole new group of kids coming in and a whole new group of kids graduating, and you have to make sure that their experience is just as good as the experience of the kids that came before them. And so you really have to be on top of it in order for us to really accomplish the goals that we've set out to accomplish.
Do you think, and I know that you're an honorary member of the class of 2018, do you think that you're always going to have a very special bond with that group, though, because it's the group you came in with?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, kids change a lot over the course of the 4 years. And hopefully, if we're doing our job, they're growing and learning and sort of getting perspective on themselves and getting perspective on the world. And so, you know, I think that you always remember the firsts. And so I remember the first freshman orientation where I was, I'm sure, 100% more nervous than they were standing up in front of them. But I can remember those faces looking out into the McCosh classroom and just trying to think about what I'm going to say to these kids. And now, you know, in the fifth year, it becomes a lot more clear on what we're trying to accomplish and sort of how we're going to do that.
Are you able to draw on your experiences as an athlete to anything that's practical today? Or, I mean, are there general things about being a college athlete that have stayed with you? Or has the world of college athletics just changed so much?
I think it's changed a lot. I think the demands on the student athletes are just greater. And I think we talked about this a little bit in the first time we talked. I think it's just time is more precious than it's ever been. And so our job is to understand that and to manage our student athletes' time to the best of our ability and make sure that they can truly be, as we've talked about a million times, you know, tremendous students, and they can follow their passions in other areas. But at the same time, we want them to be great athletically. That's what generally they're passionate about and what they care about and what we're committed to. So I think that's the biggest difference, is just managing time. You know, we can't fabricate time, and we can't create more of it. And we want all those things for our student athletes. So I think that's a bit of the difference, is just the time demands of the student athlete. So that's our job.
Do you ever think to yourself, like, look at what goes on here today and think, I really would have loved to have had this when I was a player here.
Absolutely.
Whatever this is.
Yeah, whatever this is. I mean, I loved my experience as a student athlete here, and I think I had this tremendous opportunity to play two sports and to experience two amazing teams and two great coaches. And but I am, as you know, passionate about sports and passionate about getting better and learning through athletics, both, you know, sort of on the field of play and what the experience provides for you outside of the athletic endeavor. And so I would have loved the excitement and energy around Princeton athletics that exists today, and really the opportunities for performance, you know, sort of the conversations around strength and conditioning and speed and agility and nutrition and hydration and sort of recovery and all those things that we're focused on now, and also the sort of idea of leadership and culture, which we really weren't so explicit with back in those days. I think it happened naturally, but now we're really focused on it. I would have loved that stuff. You know, I would have been really the first one in on all of it.
What was strength and conditioning like when you were an athlete here? Did it even exist?
It didn't exist. I mean,
I remember when we added the first strength and conditioning coaches and what it was like before that a little bit, but, you know, I'm sort of curious as to what it was like for, especially for, you know, not to go down a bad path there, but for women's teams.
We didn't have a strength and conditioning coach. We didn't lift really at all. I think we had, we were just getting started with it, but because I played two sports, I really never lifted, because I think the hockey team lifted a little bit in the fall before the season started, mostly on their own, I think. And then the soccer team did a little bit of winter and spring training. I remember April Heinrichs, who was our coach my senior year. She was the coach for 1 year. She was the player of the decade. She was, best.
I read a story about her when just before she became the coach, and referred to as the Pele of women's soccer.
Yeah, I mean, she was unbelievable, and she came in my senior year, and she was very competitive, and she was very intense, and I absolutely loved that. And so I remember going in the weight room with her, and we had our little sheets of paper, and it was like the first time that anyone had ever really lifted weights. So, you know, again, that's all changed. And again, some teams probably were lifting much more back then than we were. But now the opportunities for getting better every day really exist at a very high level.
Oh, and you talk about getting better every day at a high level, and that takes you into the performance piece of what goes on at Princeton Athletics right now. And it's such a focus of everything. And it's new, and it's something that really hasn't been quantified through the years. Maybe there have been people who've paid attention to it. But let's talk a little bit about the Princeton Tiger performance and Jason Gallucci and the stuff that they're working on, and the results that we feel like it's had so far.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's an interesting, we studied this for a long time to figure out what we wanted our performance initiative to really look like. Originally, we were calling it the High Performance Initiative because we didn't know exactly what that meant. A lot of people talk about high performance, and there's a lot of different sort of angles of that. A lot of people are developing like leadership academies and sort of focused on the culture and the leadership of a team.
And the word leadership in the title.
Right.
I've noticed a lot of people whose title in college athletics now involves the word leadership.
Right, and so we studied sort of that angle. And then there are a lot of performance centers and really focus more on the physiological behaviors that result in peak performance. And so the more we studied it, the more we realized that it has to be a holistic approach, particularly here at Princeton. And we have to look at a student athlete's entire life here. And it can't be that we're so going down one path, but not considering culture and environment and the time demands and everything else that goes into being an elite athlete and an elite student at the same time. So our Princeton Tiger performance really combines all of that, you know, on one level talks a lot about culture and leadership and individual values and behaviors, but on the other hand focuses on really those the education around the physiological behaviors that will allow you to reach your own peak performance. And again, the performance initiative is not to try to push really, really high performing kids to a higher level. Of course, we want that to be the result, but we want to do it in a measured way where it says, you know, you can do all of this and live with a tremendous sense of well-being and purpose and less stress, not more stress. You know, we're not trying to add more. We're trying to look holistically at their life to have the right balance of those behaviors and initiatives.
And from the start, this whole performance initiative has been tied into the values piece, and that's where the Be a Tiger motto came from, was the performance side. And I know there's words in there that I can't remember what the tiger part.
Yeah, hopefully
do you remember those?
I do remember those.
Have you ever used those?
I've never used those. But yeah, no. The be a tiger stands for being a tiger, which is accountable, team oriented, having personal integrity, being growth minded, being engaged, and being respectful. And yes, a lot of people make fun of me because I'm a little over the top on my be a tiger. But really, you find these situations all the time in life where, and my kids particularly are, they get it a little bit too much at home. But, when something happens, you really reflect back and say, okay, am I being accountable for my own actions in this? Or am I just blaming other people? Or am I taking responsibility for my own actions? The team-oriented thing, I won't go through all of them, but the team-oriented thing to me is critical in all aspects of life. And I think you really obviously learn that through sports, but sometimes it's even lost when you're on a team and you get so individually focused that we can say, listen, this is a part of your experience here, is being on an unbelievable team that you'll be a part of for the rest of your life. And try to think about putting that team first and how you are contributing to the overall success of your team, whatever your team is, whether that's your residential college or the class that you're in or your social group. But be that great member of the team that is truly focused on the success of the entire organization rather than just your own success. And again, these are life lessons that you've learned. I would say in my career, that I was pretty focused on being individually successful. And I wish I'd learned this lesson a little earlier. I think we all can reflect on our own time.
But I think that, I think it reflects a change in the environment. And I think that when you were an athlete and, even going back longer than that, that people didn't talk about things about the values per se. And I think it's good that the athletes who compete here have a real clear understanding of what's expected of them, not just competitively, but to understand how they fit in and what they need to be to represent Princeton and to be a Princeton athlete. And the whole values piece, I think, on the Be a Tiger piece, and, it's T-shirts and it's, you always like to make fun of yourself that you say these words over and over again, but I think they get through to the people that they need to get through to.
I hope so. I mean, again, we're putting them on the walls. At one point while I've been here, we sort of said, does that match our values? And then it was kind of clear, what are our values? What do we want to be as, individual people in our department and the athletes that we're hopefully educating through this athletic experience. And so, yeah, it can be a little over the top at times, but I think those words are pretty darn good words. I mean, I think if you think about all of them, you hear them over and over again in life. And it's not just, I've spoken to many alums about our performance initiative and this values piece. And I've said, these are the things that we hope our kids reflect on and think about while they're here, but also when they go out into the business world. And I've had some people say, these are the exact things that we're trying to teach our young analysts or our new employees coming through, or just even our more seasoned veterans and leaders. If you do these things, you're going to be pretty successful. And as I said before, one of our goals is these are all things you can control. And so hopefully that will reduce the level of stress, not heighten the level of stress. You can control whether you're accountable and team-oriented and you live your own integrity and you're growth-minded as opposed to just focused on the results. And you can certainly live how engaged you are in whatever endeavor you're participating in. And respect is kind of at the core of who we should all be as humans. So these are things that I think are very transferable to being here as a student athlete, being a member of a family or a team or whatever it is after you leave here. And so I love it. I know, it can get a little hokey, but I definitely love it.
I mean, it can get a little hokey, but at the same time, I think it's important that, right, people know what's expected of them and what the value of the organization is. And I think that they respond to that. And I think if you don't say that, if you don't try to come up with a set of guidelines like that, it becomes the Wild West sometimes, and that's when people are left to make bad decisions. And I think that's where people get in trouble, and it happens in every facet of life, not just athletics. But the fifth year for you, the first year for the ESPN Ivy League arrangement, the ESPN Plus video home now for the Ivy League on ESPN Plus, replacing the Ivy League digital network, gotten pretty good reviews to start with. People seem happy with the product, and I think it's from my perspective, I think it's great that to see the league partner with somebody like ESPN. And I know that you had a lot to do with that. And I think that, I think it's interesting how it evolves and then what it means for the league moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, listen, our goal in this, when we set out to think about what the digital network's next sort of iteration would be, was really to think about how we can reach as many people with our messaging, and we can highlight and showcase our unbelievably talented and successful student athletes sort of to a larger spectrum of people. And I think that was really the number one goal in what we were trying to do. And partnering with ESPN, I mean, who's better to partner with in the world of sports than the leader? And so I think that we'll be able to obviously have people watch our games, but I think that this platform will also allow us to, you know, showcase our values and showcase who we are as a league and as a school and institution. And so I'm really excited about it. I think they already hit 1 million subscribers last week, which was a great platform for, or a great sort of metric for them on how they were doing at a pretty early. They just launched. And so, you know, I love it when you click onto the ESPN plus, you know, the watch on the app, and the first game that they show is an Ivy League game. There's a lot of people logging on, obviously, on a daily basis, and if people just click on that and see the tremendous level at which we're competing, and then when we can put some of our values pieces at halftime, and you know, using that as an opportunity to again showcase who we are.
So let's talk a little bit about the on-field performance here early in the season. You know, amazingly, like an entire month has basically come and gone since the first game already. So like time flies around here. But a lot of teams with some expectations on them. The Ivy League this year for the first time has done preseason polls in basically every sport. And a lot of Princeton teams are picked to be first or second. It was a good weekend for Princeton to start off in the Ivy League. And we'll get to football in a minute. But the three teams that played their Ivy League openers are all defending champs. They're all preseason picks to win this year. And they all won 3-0. So women's volleyball, women's soccer, and field hockey. But in general, you know, you can, and you worked at Chelsea Piers for a long time, like you understand how special it is to, you know, how hard you have to work to do something, but how special it is to do that and then be able just to go watch the games themselves. And I have to think that's the best part for you, is seeing the teams and enjoying their successes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I'm a complete sports junkie. I love watching sports at every single level. I, you know, passionate about watching my own kids compete and just love watching them enjoy it more than anything. But I love watching, that's sort of the fun part, you know, the fruits of our labor, is we all love to go out there and watch our athletes compete. But I've also learned that you have to ride out the highs and ride out the lows, right? I mean, there are some weekends where we will just have, you know, tremendous success, and you're at the top of the world. Everyone wins. You know, you think things are moving along wonderfully, and then the next weekend everyone loses, you know. So you have to be able to view this as a bit of a marathon, and I've learned over the 4 years of just sit back and wait until the season's over. And I think all of our teams are really good this fall. I mean, I think that they're performing at a really high level. They're having tremendous success outside of the league. You know, when we enter into the league, we've already had this sort of, you know, out of conference season generally in a lot of our sports, and we've already had some amazing wins. We've had some great games that were exciting for the community to come be a part of. And so, but you just have to, you know, ride it out and take the highs with the lows. And I'm really confident we're going to have a good fall.
We have weekends where we play Harvard and everything, and there have been years where we've won them all, and there's years where we've lost them all. And,
yeah, I remember a couple years ago, I think we lost them all, and you know, most years we win them all. I mean,
we
win a lot of them, you know, and sometimes we split them with them. But there was a year, I think it was 2 years ago in the fall, and I just came home after, you know, you just go to all these games, and it's like, and I think we hit the post 3 times in soccer. I think they were all one goal games. You know, it just, the ball bounced the wrong way that day. And you just think, oh my God, that was a tough day. And I remember getting an email from an alum who just said, I think we've had better days. That's all he wrote. And I said, yeah, I think we've had better days. But the next year, I think we won them all. So, you know, you just have to ride it out.
And let's talk a little bit about football. The home opener was last Saturday against Monmouth, 51-9 through 2 games. Princeton's outscored its opponents 101-16. If you look at the NCAA stats, Princeton's first or second nationally in a bunch of stuff. If you wanted to pick who the 5 best players on the team were right now, you couldn't even do that, because there's, you know, 15 of them who you can consider. And they, you know, things are great right now. And then, of course, coming up on Friday night on ESPNU is the Ivy opener at Columbia, and Columbia beat Princeton last year. What's your take on Princeton football and what it, not just the success they're having so far, and obviously it's a big game on Friday, and Columbia's a resurgent program, but just in general, what football means to Princeton, to its alums, to the campus, and how college football still can, you know, resonate with people in ways that other things can't.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I could go on and on about a lot of different aspects of this team. I'll start with your sort of last question. Is on Saturday we hosted my partner in crime upstairs, Kim Mazzaros, who's my executive assistant and who really runs all of our events and human resources, and she does an amazing job. And you know, this weekend we hosted up in the 56 Lounge. We hosted, I think, 400 and some people for just a little intimate gathering that we were having. But the point of that is that people really engaged around the game, and I received so many thank you notes after that experience because people had just a great time, and it just brings community together. Kim always puts on a great party all the time, but we had we had faculty fellows there, we had deans, we had vice presidents, we had some members of the community, we had coaches and their families, and there were kids running around everywhere, and that's what makes this experience so fun. So yes, football gives us a unique platform to do that, and our department I think is really a wonderful community, and we were able to bring, as we say, the team around the team together in this, celebratory event. In addition, I think this particular team, from what I can see and what I know, they just have great leadership, both from the coaches, but also from the student athletes. I've had a chance to engage with the seniors, and they really are great, and they just have this really enthusiastic and positive attitude. They're all extremely hard workers. They're talented, but they get how important culture is to the overall success of a team.
Well, you could watch John Lovett for not even play. You can watch him like walk onto the field. Even last year when he couldn't play, you can see this, and then like everybody just follows him.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, he's got a whole group of them, and I think, and that just doesn't happen at the senior class too. I think that the values that the football program promotes are fantastic, and it really is about development and growth and getting a little bit better every day. I think Bob says get X% better every day, and that's really shows in their performance so far.
So we call this A Few Minutes with Molly, and we've gone a few minutes past 20 minutes with Molly, and we like to keep them to 20 minutes. But it's okay to go a little longer. Can't guarantee how often we'll do this. I know it won't be every week, but would like to, maybe every other week or every 3 weeks to let the Princeton fans hear directly from the athletic director. So we'll try to figure out what a reasonable, workable schedule for you is, because I know that your schedule is pretty tight.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
But I think these podcasts have been great, and I think it's a great way for you to Princeton fans, alums, athletes, parents, and all to hear directly your voice on these things. And we certainly have no shortage of topics that we can talk about once we get into this on a more regular basis. And coming up, obviously, some winter sports, I believe, have already started practicing. Hockey start practicing yet? I don't even know.
I don't think yet. I think they're close. The women
We're following the rules.
Yeah,
I just don't know the start date.
Yeah.
And then, pretty soon they'll be playing, and it'll be the next tag day, and it'll be, all these other holiday parties and all that stuff. So
there is no shortage of activity within the Princeton Athletic Department, for sure. But, again, to use part of the Be a Tiger, I think the best part is when people are really just engaged around what we're doing, and they get involved from many, many different levels. Our staff works really, really, really hard, as you know. But I think across the board they love it, and it's a great sort of organization to get around and to be a part of, so we just keep plugging.
So want to thank you for taking the time to be with us on this episode of A Few Minutes with Molly. So Molly, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jerry. It's a pleasure.
And we will be back at some point. We'll let you know when that's going to be, and we'll try to figure out a more consistent schedule for you. But in the meantime, it was good to hear from Molly, and want to thank, on behalf of Molly Marcusamon, Jerry Price, thanking everybody for being here, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Athletics.